Our Holy Gospel this second Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 7th chapter. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, the centurion sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When the elders came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." As Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. You get the sense that the centurion in our gospel reading is used to getting his way, don't you? Not only is he part of this Roman hierarchy in that community, one who has political power in Capernaum, but he also has a number of soldiers under him to do his will as well. But such is this centurion's nature that he has come to respect the local Hebrew culture, and the thought of this slave dying was unconscionable. Our gospel isn't clear on why he so valued this particular slave. In fact, the nature of slavery in Palestine was such that, while not cheap, slaves were very much expendable. The fact that this slave is highly valued already makes this centurion unique. Add to that the fact that the elders report his worthiness to Jesus because of the fact that this centurion built the synagogue in Capernaum for the Jewish people, and you begin to see this in this centurion a compassionate man, one who cares for those under his command and those in his household. But I think it's important to note that just because a centurion is a compassionate man doesn't mean that he isn't above using his position and his power to get his own way. It's for this reason that the centurion doesn't come to Jesus himself. He knows that he has pull with the local religious leaders, and he uses that power. I don't particularly blame him. If you were an outsider looking in, would you prefer to come as an outsider to make a request, or would you rather an insider make that request for you? Let's be honest. Roman soldiers were not particularly well-liked by most of the Israelite population. There's no guarantee for this centurion that a religious leader with a gift of healing would be willing to help a representative of his people's oppressors. So some of the elders of the synagogue are sent to request aid on the centurion's behalf. Maybe it's just me, but it seems that it isn't just the soldiers and the slaves who are under the command of the centurion in our gospel reading this morning, because it seems apparent that the elders are earnest in their belief that this centurion deserves the help from Jesus. But you wonder if they wouldn't be quite so earnest if the centurion hasn't already done so much for the community. For the elders, the challenge that they face is they find themselves somewhat indebted to the centurion whom they credit for the building of their synagogue. And if they are indebted, how can they possibly say no when the centurion asks for them to intervene with Jesus on his behalf? As we read the story, it becomes apparent that this centurion is very wise in the politics of the world in which he lived. He knew how to get what he wanted, and he knew the best people for the job. And truth be told, the centurion himself doesn't aggrandize what he has done for the community. In fact, this centurion doesn't speak at all in this text. He sends others to speak for him. And the others who speak for him and praise him are automatically more credible than he himself would be. Now, think about it. I could tell you something wonderful about myself, like how I'm an excellent cook. But you're much more likely to accept that as truth if Elissa were bragging about me rather than me. And I do make a really mean eggplant parmesan, I'm just saying. But in a similar way, the praise of the elders serves as a more reliable reference for Jesus than the centurion himself would have been. Let's contrast that for a minute with our first reading today. Solomon stands before the altar of the Lord in the newly built temple, a temple built by using the forced labor of the Israelite people, his own people. And Solomon proceeds to pray a prayer to God, but also praising himself. We don't get the entire prayer in our reading today. We skip over most of it, but suffice to say that Solomon is building up God in preparation for a grand finale of sorts. And I'm paraphrasing here. All these other gods are nothing compared to you, God. And I pray that the others might see your glory and come to this temple and worship you. And Lord, when they come and worship you, remember also that I built this temple just for you, God. It seems that Solomon hopes that he will get his for what he has done. And he isn't afraid to go right to the source in asking for his blessing. It does make me wonder, though, if the centurion is more or less humble than Solomon in our readings. Now, sure, Solomon is bold in how he places his own works before God in the glory of the temple of the Lord, but the centurion is confident enough in his influence that he sends elders from the synagogue to summon Jesus for him. Now, sure, he claims to be unworthy of Jesus entering his home, but still the centurion doesn't tell Jesus himself, but instead he sends messengers to do so for him. He trusts that Jesus is capable of healing his slave, regardless of where he is. So the question that I've been asking myself since reading this text is this humility on the part of the centurion, or is it maybe some well-fashioned theater? One thing does seem clear in our readings, though, today. As Solomon built up the temple, he anticipated receiving rewards from God. And as the centurion helped build the synagogue, he was willing to leverage that into increased influence, which brought his slave's plight to the attention of Jesus. The work that they did, they expected to matter. They expected to be rewarded for it. But that's a rather human way of thinking, isn't it? Now, truth be told, we might feel that we deserve a heavenly reward for what we do here on earth in the ways that we support our church family and help build up the body of Christ, but God doesn't quite work like that. Solomon was rewarded, yes, but he also then gave himself too much credit, and at the end of his life, he presided over a kingdom on the verge of collapse. The centurion himself receives what he requests, but was it for his sake or for the sake of the people whom he served, the people that he asked to speak for him? Was it for the slave and not so much for him? I think that who we are and what we do here in this place really does matter for the glory of the gospel. I really do. But at the same time, the blessings that Solomon and the centurion received were blessings that also were meant to proclaim the glory of God. I truly believe that as we are called to work as God's agents of grace here in this place, we find that we are called to work in trust that all that we do and all that we are blessed with first and foremost points back to the God who frees us from sin and gives us every good gift. And if we are blessed, and I believe we are blessed with the gift to share this gift of blessing with others, thus perhaps spreading the glory of God a little bit further. And I think it's for this reason, above all others, that the centurion's slave was healed, that the goodness of the Lord through Jesus Christ might be made known. And in the healing that was accomplished, in the proclamation of faith that Christ experienced in the centurion, change began. the glory of God and the good news of Jesus Christ was made available to all people, to those who would be oppressors, not just a few Hebrews. And if this good news that we believe is available to all, we all have much to share, much to celebrate. For the good news and all that we are blessed with should, and I believe does, point first to glorify God, in whom we do receive every good gift and every blessing, not for our sakes, but so that we can share them with all the world. Amen.